guest this week is Nadine King. She is the Special Assistant to the Provost at Spelman University. She is the founder of Black Admin Magic and the newly launched the National Association of Black Administrative Professionals. Nadine is also an author. She wrote a book called The Ninja, Chronicles of an Assistant. Nadine was so generous to speak to me about so much, from her career to deeply personal issues that have led her to create both Black Admin Magic and NABAP. It is an emotional conversation at times, and I so appreciate her ability to share these things with us. She was so real and honest about her experiences, and it really was such a pleasure to speak with her about everything that she's accomplished in her life. Enjoy. Nadine, it is so lovely to have you as a guest this week. Thank you for being a guest on Assistance Together.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. I've wanted to speak to you for a long time. And I thought I would start this episode with a quote from you that I saw on LinkedIn. And it had such a big impact on me. I thought, you know, there's a lot on LinkedIn, and this one really stuck out for me. But you said, "You might not be their cup of tea, in inverted commas. You cannot be everything to everyone, but for that which you are called to do is your purpose, and no one can take that from you." And that, I found it so emotional. What a beautiful thing to say.
Thank you. It's something that I've grappled with, I believe, you know, over the years of my life personally and my career, and wisdom has brought me to that place where I just know that's the truth. I mean, I think we're in a place where there are a lot of copycats, and there's a lot of individuals that might feel the struggle to, I don't know if the word assimilate is a good word, but, you know, just they don't feel worthy, you know, they deal with worthiness. And so just, you know, saying that being authentic and knowing who you are is okay. And there's a group of people that are meant for you and that will accept you. You know, some people call it tribes. And just know that what you offer is good enough, and what you offer cannot be taken away by anybody, and just own it. You know, I'm a big advocate for that, owning who you are, owning what you bring to the table, and going from that place. And I think once we do that and we center ourselves in that way, so much more can be brought out of us and offered to the world. So.
Yes, and I can really understand when you're speaking about it. I feel that perhaps also that self-acceptance is also about less striving for or to be what the sort of current, I'm not sure exactly, I'm not probably describing it very well, but to go, not always going after what other people feel that you should go after in life, but to have the understanding of an acceptance of what you are really naturally good at and what your creativity and light and strength can bring to a situation.
Yes, I am. I'm an avid believer that God has created all of us differently and has given us certain talents and gifts. So we have to know what those are and dive into those particular gifts, because then they'll begin to expand and, you know, make room for us in areas that, you know, we didn't even know existed. So yeah. You've got to know what those talents are and stay in that place and keep digging, because there's gold on the other side of it. And we all have something different to offer this world. Our creator, I believe, made sure of that. And so sometimes we have to look inward and center ourselves in that place and ask him, you know, what is inside of me that I'm supposed to give the world? And that's why I put that in that quote when I thought about that, as far as they can't take it away, because we were all created with a purpose and man has no ability or power to take that purpose away from us. So
that is truly
beautiful. Thank you for sharing that quote, though.
Thank you for writing it. I feel like it becomes a bigger question about what your unique talents and gifts are in the world. And I like the idea of starting to dig for that. Often if we're externally striving for success in whatever that looks like, it doesn't allow us necessarily the self-exploration to identify what we're really good at. You know, I'm good at some things and getting better at some things, and other things, you know, I am hideous at, you know, and that's the way that it is. But what I do try to do is to really go, as you said, to just sort of try to expand on the things that I am naturally drawn to learn as much as I can.
Yes.
And that's, absolutely. That seems to be a thread throughout your career. When I've been researching a little about what you've been doing, and we've had the opportunity to speak before, which I was really grateful for. And this sense for me of the self-exploration that you've been through in your life and career, you speak openly and candidly about, which I am very appreciative of.
Thank you.
It doesn't feel like that is an easy thing to do in a world full of people telling us we're supposed to be authentic.
It's uncomfortable. But I love the saying, I don't know whoever came up with it, but I'm always saying it, is that nothing grows in comfort. You know, I think of myself as a disruptor in some ways. Of course, I believe I'm a righteous disruptor. I believe in integrity and having the right principles on the inside. So I'm not just a disruptor for the sake of causing, you know, chaos or crazy. Yeah. Right. But there's a purpose. And so, but it's uncomfortable, you know, when you're, you know, talking or speaking to the status quo and the way that things are, it could be easy to just jump into that stream and flow down the river in the same direction that everyone else is going. But sometimes when you see things and you have foresight and forethought, and you're not and you look afar, and like I said, you tap into the talent or the abilities that you have, that pulls you out of the mainstream and the status quo. And you might find yourself going against the stream and trying to, you know, make a way for other people who are feeling the same way, who may not be as empowered to turn around and go in a different direction. But you are, and you lean into being uncomfortable. That's where change happens. That's where change happens. And there's beauty in that, but it's not comfortable. It's not, you know, when you're looking at it and saying, well, look at what I'm about to try to do. And some people question it, you know, some people have questioned and said, well, what's the purpose? What's the need? But you know, there's a need because there's something on the inside of you. And I think it's important to know that, like I said, you may not be everyone's cup of tea. You know, when you're going against that grain and you know there's a need for the purpose that you have and what you bring to the table, it may take some time for you to find that tribe or make those connections or people to see the purpose. But eventually, you know, it starts to create synergy, and then there's energy, and the next thing you know, whatever that time frame is, it's like, yes, people are like, yes, that's what I've been meaning. I've been meaning to connect with someone like you, or I've been meaning to, you know, this resonates with me. So, it's not easy, but you have to be, as a leader and as a pioneer, you have to be uncomfortable. you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You have to get comfortable with just being that person that's willing to stand out on the outside and say there is a different way to go about this. So.
And when I've heard you speak about your career, that some of the big changes that you've made when have been from other people requesting your help. I speak specifically about the coaching element and yes. and that people have sought you out mm-hmm. for support and help, and that that is something that perhaps naturally people feel comfortable to go to you to have that connection with you.
I believe so. And it's, I think I see that it's because people know that I am willing to be that disruptor. They know that I'm willing, you know, if I can be a voice. People reached out to me like help to, you know, answer the difficult questions, mm-hmm. Help to navigate difficult problems and situations or things that they feel like they just can't get out of. And because I've been a trailblazer and a pioneer in certain ways, that I own, and that's my portion. And I know, like I said, no one can take that from me. Others have latched onto that, and it's not me. It's not, you know, I take everything humbly, and I believe that, you know, God has given me these talents, but, so I don't say that it's just all me. But yes, they've latched on and asked, can you help me? You know, yeah. I've had people reach out and, you know, they've asked me to help, you know, from the simplest thing of wordsmithing and helping their executive understand their need in the organization for training or professional development, to navigating difficult, you know, conversations with other executives in the organization or colleagues. So the range is great, but they do gravitate towards me. So I get a little bit talking just about me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. So if I'm, you know, naturally it might seem like, well, what is she talking in circles? But yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it, some people have a natural leadership quality or that is comforting, reassuring, and I get that sense from you when I spoke to you last time that has led you to these different things in your career that are kind of piecing together elements of your life and somehow unifying them. So I suppose we should go back a little bit to give people some background so that I know that I'm not going off at a tangent, but you are currently an executive assistant at Spelman College.
A special assistant.
Yes,
that's right. So the provost at Spelman College.
Yeah. And your career has been an evolution in itself in terms of assistant work with big responsibilities and very big budgets and an incredible force of evolution within the space that you are holding. How have you experienced that? Has it been a journey that you'd expected in your assistant career? No.
No.
Go ahead.
I started off in banking, and there I was assisting the, I became a teller supervisor, but I was assisting the operations manager and assisted with running a satellite branch. It's kind of where I got my feet wet and transitioned to doing some reception work, some entry-level administrative work, supporting some pastors at a church, and going from there to a couple of different organizations, taking jobs. You know, I was a lot younger, from temp agencies, and then ended up in academia. And I've been there for maybe like the last in academia about 11 years or 12. Don't quote me on that. But I've been in the profession close to like 25 years now, and or close to like 22, 23 years. And it's had its ups and downs. It ebbs and flows. There's been times where I wanted to, you know, walk away. I shared that in a blog that I didn't think there was anything extravagant about being an administrative assistant or someone, you know, that supports other people, you know. Yeah. And I thought I had, you know, other talents that I could expand upon or grow in. But this is just the area where it just all would come together. You know, I received positions as I grew. And of course, I learned administrative work in my parents' church. And, you know, that started early on. And if anyone knows, it's considered a gift. The gift of administration is a biblical thing. And it's the Greek word for it is kerbonesis. And so it's those that can steer a ship. You know, the thought is that these people who are administrative professionals, you've got the visionaries, you've got the captain, you've got all these other people on a ship. But then the administrative professional in any organization can steer that ship. They can take that vision from those executives, pull down the details, and execute and make things happen. So along my career, you know, learning that I had that gift and talent, although at first I thought there's nothing extravagant, especially at the entry level, I was like, you know, everybody's dropping all these projects on me and asking me to get the coffee, and I'm this girl, I'm not the help, you know. And so I, you know, there was times of frustration. There were times that I was overlooked for advancement, where I thought that I would, I was very much a fit for a particular opportunity. Times that I felt, you know, ostracized or left out of the conversation. You know, there were times I was the only Black woman at the table. And then I had this, like I said, the inner frustration of feeling like there's nothing extravagant about doing this work. And especially because if we know anything about how the profession has evolved, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we didn't have, you know, there wasn't a big focus on the organizations that we have now. There wasn't a big focus on, you know, someone like you doing this podcast, you know, just great work, assistance together, you know, bringing us together, sharing that we all have something to say and bring to the table. So, you know, starting off, I didn't think it was great. And, but now I see, and that scripture and that proverb that says your gifts make room for you. I see now why it was necessary for me to stay where I'm at, because now you couldn't tell, I wouldn't know 20 years ago that I would be starting an organization like I'm starting, giving a voice to individuals, helping to level the playing field, speaking on a podcast like this, bringing my expertise, bringing my, you know, abilities, and helping others achieve success. It's a great place to be. It really is. And I'm excited. So
that's so beautiful. I love the idea that, you know, that the administrators steer the ship. I mean,
yes.
Yes. Doesn't that, I mean, I don't think you need a better, there's no better analogy, really, that the recognition was already there.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years and years and years ago, people understood the importance. It feels like that's so disappointing that outlook changed, or that the world viewed people in certain roles as not as key. And I feel like in COVID, during this period, that, you know, we've learned who the real key workers in our countries are. And this idea of who, you know, was very important, who ran the businesses, and the fact that the people who bring the food to us, who are in the grocery or food shops, as I'm trying to span the two languages, as it were, but that our doctors, our nurses, the administrators within hospitals, these are the people that keep us all going. And that's been an enormous recognition for a lot of people, and a cultural change of understanding what's important for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's reset, like you said. What's most important? You know, being at home is, you know, family helping, you know, like you said, you didn't know what teachers, you know, now as parents, you know, me being a parent myself,
yeah,
like, oh my God, bless these people. God bless you. Like, I want to go and hug every teacher I see. If I could just stand on the corner, free hugs for teachers, you know,
yeah.
Please stop and I'll get, I mean, because, you know, bless them. I mean, you didn't have time to think about these things. Right. It's like you said, it's reset us. It's brought us to this place where we understand the value of those that we connect with every day, the value of, like you said, those that are keeping the organizations, or any organization running. So yeah, it's important. It's very important.
Yeah, it really is, to just, although it's so sad, isn't it? As with most big lessons, it comes in a backdrop of immense sadness for so many people and loss.
Yes.
And it's always disappointing that we end up having to be in those really dark situations to actually understand some of those big lessons.
Yes.
I would have liked to have got there faster and without that.
Without the loss, without the chaos, without the lockdown and the, you know, isolation. You know, this is isolation for so many. I think about families that are dealing with domestic violence and, you know, that are stuck at home in those situations. And so, you know, all of this, like you said, it's very tough, you know, but hopefully we, with all the loss and things that have happened, as we continue to go through this transition with COVID, we start to see a lot more light, you know, come through the darkness, in our personal lives, as well as in the lives of, you know, our nations and wherever we are, you know, I'm hopeful for that.
Me too. Absolutely. And, I have to bring up the book that you wrote, which is called The Ninja: Chronicles of an Assistant. And how was that process for you? I mean, you talk about this evolution in your career and how when you're doing something that is really for you and resonates with you, that you're digging for things about what you're good at. And then things come up, or opportunities come up, that then probably make you feel like questioning whether or not that's going to be the right step forward. Was it like that when you wrote the book? Did you
actually want
it? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
When I first started that book, that was a couple of years ago. First of all, my husband, you know, I thank God for him. He's actually a writer, and is very good at it. I mean, he's won, contests for his writing. So he was an inspiration for me to write. And, you know, and he was like, you know, you really need to, you know, all this knowledge you have, or, and share it. And so, when I first started the process, I muffled myself. I hindered my voice. And the reason I say that is because I was approaching it from a standpoint of like writing in a very methodical way. You know, I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just write. This is what I said to myself, because then I was thinking, if it's not successful, if people don't want to read it, then I haven't put much work into it, right?
So, oh, I love that. You'd already cut yourself off at the knees, as my mum would say. You'd like,
yes,
I'm just going to say, maybe no one will read it. So that'll be fine.
I'll be fine. You know, so then what I said in that, though, I was like, you know, so then this is what I'll do. I'll write like a manual, right? I said, I'll do this like 20 page or 10 page, like paper manual, white paper or something like that. But it would have like points, like to be a great executive assistant, you have to have great organization skills. Here's points, boop, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And something told me to read it out loud. And that's something that I do. I don't know about anyone else, but I tell this to anybody that I coach, that speaking out loud doesn't mean you're crazy. But when you're alone and you need to practice your confidence or practice, because you have to practice confidence. You have to practice, you know, how you present yourself. Look in the mirror, you know, and you stand there and say, if you're practicing for an interview, speak out loud so you can hear yourself and hear, you know, how you sound. And does it sound really like you? Does it resonate with your spirit that this is me? I'm presenting myself, bringing my, like we said, we talked about a minute ago, authentic self. So what happened was when I wrote the first like 4 or 5 pages, no double space. I mean, just like everything was tight. So it was a good amount of information. I started to read it out loud and it sounded so boring. It was like, this is not me. First of all, I started the project, right? I was pumped by what my husband was saying to me. But then I started with, how did your mom call it again?
Cut yourself off at the knees. So you can't move. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I cut myself off of the knees, like, oh, well, nobody will read it anyway. You know, at least I did it, you know. And so those are already two ways of starting off negatively, you know, bad. And then I cut my own voice off because I was thinking, well, since I cut myself off at the knees, no one was going to read it. So let me just do it in this way that I think everyone will expect it. But back to my saying that, you know, what's inside of you is what's inside of you. And it may not be everyone's cup of tea, and that's okay. You know, that'll read it, we'll read it and glean something from it. And that's what's important. So I scratched all of that, you know, I balled all that up, threw it out. And I had a conversation in myself. And was like, look, Nadine, share what you want to share and speak in your own voice. And so that's where it came from. If you read the book, it's very conversational. It's, you know, some people say it's conversational, but it's an easy read, but they find connection with it. Like, yes, I felt that way too. You know, I have a chapter in there called, I think it was Miranda, something about crying. I wrote it so 4 years ago and I need to remember the names of the chapters. But, and as I begin to just write in that way, the words begin to flow. And it was my first project of writing. And now I know how I'm approaching. I have other projects that will be coming out, but I have a better process. I'm not cutting myself off at the knees. Yeah. I'm not assuming that it won't resonate with anyone. And I'm not going to use anyone else's voice, but my own. And that was a beautiful process for me. And I actually cried at the end of it that I was like, yeah, I had that much to say. And I also did it in my own way. And when I read it out loud, my spirit just like vibrated. It was like, yes,
yeah,
you're speaking in your own voice. And so even though that was my first project, and as I continue to use my own voice, I'll be strengthened in that way. And as I grow, my writing will grow. But I have the foundational components of making sure that I'm going to be effective because it's in my own voice. It's no one else's. I didn't take that tactical approach that I thought was necessary. And who it's for is who it's for, and those that not be the next person, you know, my next brother or sister who may write a book, their book may resonate with them. And that's absolutely okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we should not be in competition. You know, it's like, what I have to offer does not help you, then I have a network of people that have written books that I can be like, well, maybe this book will help you. Or, you know, someone else's that they've written to help us in our profession and what we do every day. So,
yeah, I think that's so interesting, because one of the quotes from your book, I'm going to quote you again, sorry. many times you say in the book, in the role of an executive assistant, we tend to step to the back. We play well in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And we try to describe this in many different ways in the assistant community, but I found that to be an incredibly concise, and it's something that I heard very easily. I understood exactly what you meant by that, in that we watch people do that in their careers because of the nature of the role.
Yeah.
But that doesn't serve you long term. And I suppose I liked it in the sense that I've gone quite into a lot of detail here, but I feel like you were stepping out of your own shadow by writing it, because you were taking your career and your gifts and talents to the next level for you.
Absolutely.
And without writing that book, you wouldn't then, I feel like, necessarily have gone on to start Black Admin Magic, which is just over a year old. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Because these things in our lives that I find as I get older and a tiny, tiny bit wiser about my own experiences are that each thing feels like a stepping stone, even though you have no understanding of why it's appearing in that instance, but it still leads you on to other things.
Yeah. It's crazy that you brought that up, because I keep this running tab in one of my Google Docs that talks about my thoughts, and they are disruptor thoughts. So I usually am typing something in there. And back to your point of, like, you know, stepping out of the shadows, and it's, you know, we've heard the role has evolved in other organizations where there can, you know, the EA is considered a business partner.
Yeah.
But I think it answers this thing, or goes against this idea, that empowering an assistant or an empowering that person to do their job or their profession, that individual may forget that they're an assistant, right?
Yeah. So
there's nuance, or this thing where executives or people that have administrative support, they may not be an executive, they could be a manager or whatever.
Yeah, anyone.
Spoken to so many where, you know, administrative assistants will say, well, my boss will never believe in that, because it's like you have to keep this hierarchy. Like, you report to me, you assist me. And so if I empower you, maybe you'll forget your place, right?
Yeah, you might forget the goal is to look after me, right?
Right. You're going to forget, you know, like, if you're my, so remember your place. And so we have to come up with more conversations around that. Like, first of all, why is that? Because the more I feel you empower the person that supports you and they walk alongside you, the more they feel, you know, the ability to just, are they the more loyalty? It could lead more loyalty, you know, to say, hey, this person believes in me and believes in what I'm doing. You know, I have that right now at Spelman, you know, the provost is just constantly, you know, pouring and empowering and saying, hey, you can do this. And see it as a threat, like, but remember, you report, you know, you assist me, and so don't forget your place, versus like when you have someone that grabs hold to that EA or that assistant that says, this person empowers me, I want to walk alongside them and continue to help them reach their goals and to assist and support them, because the more that I push them forward, the more they bring me forward, the more push them forward. You know, it's like this, it becomes this dance, right? So then, you know, the more that, you know, she trailblazes, the more that I get to see where she's going. And so, yeah, we have to change that thought process in some people that think that, yeah, you know, if I invest in you, or invest in your, you know, you're going to forget who you are. So stepping out of those shadows, you know, partnering with, you know, our executives is very important. It's important.
Yeah, that's right. It's beautifully, it's beautifully put, because you're right. It is a dance of their personal excel. They are excelling in their career, and
absolutely
actually catching up with that as their role changes. The constant sort of adaptability of somebody in their assistant role, whatever, or administrative role, is so impressive, because you're endlessly meeting the next level of expectation. And yet, as you said, the endless narrative or feeling is that if I let you go too far in that direction, I'm going to lose you. And that's a strange relationship, isn't it?
If
somebody feels that they're going to lose you, and that's going to negatively impact their life, then it's sort of partly recognizing your importance, but at the same time, it has a troubling element to it emotionally.
Even if, for example, you know, as I may grow and have someone that's assisting me, even if that person does grow beyond, you know, the role, it's not a threat to me.
No.
Because it's like, great. I want to see you grow. It's not a threat. And we've got to get out of those mindsets of thinking, you know, this person's success is a threat to my success.
Yeah. I look
at it as, well, I'm absolutely honored, and that I brought, you know, I helped, I was instrumental in you getting to this place where now you become the executive, or you become, you know, this entrepreneur, or whatever you decide to do. And now it opens up the door for someone else to step in and learn the same thing. And so we're all growing, and we're not devouring each other or suffocating because of the positions that we hold, because we're more than our positions, you know, we're more than that, you know? It's important to, I end that a lot. It's important. In this podcast, but it's important.
No, I do. It's a huge part of more introspection as well, isn't it? Of what your own perception of success, or where you want your own career to go. The comparison never works very well when we're comparing our experience to someone else's. But also that everybody can have their own individual space. It doesn't have to be this competition at all. Exactly. Somebody said, I can't remember who it was, but I thought it was quite an interesting quote. If you see someone that you're jealous of, you know, like you see someone on Instagram and they're a writer. Like for me, I always think people that write are just, I'm so useless at it that I have no attention for it. So I do it, and then I'm like, I'm sure that's fine. And I get my husband to read it, and he's like, have you read this? It's like, no, I just wrote it. And he's like, oh, okay, hold on. But that if you see somebody in a position that makes you feel envious in some kind of way, it's because there's something in you that connects with what they're doing. And that if you could try to see it as something that could be for you, then it takes the sting out of it, because it's like a recognition of something that maybe you would like to do for yourself.
Yeah.
And that is a great thing to know if there's something you want to do, but it doesn't always, like, it doesn't sadly always present itself in that way.
No, it doesn't.
As you've had this incredible career evolution, and you've been an author, and you, as I said, just over a year ago, you launched Black Admin Magic, and I've been following what you've been doing, and your incredibly thoughtful and honest posts on LinkedIn about diversity and inclusion, I know you've been a speaker and have spoken about this at various, at a conference as well as on webinars, and this must, I imagine, the last year with COVID and the world events, the death of George Floyd, with the absolute, how can I put it, the absolute and so needed shift in consciousness by so many people about what experiences people of color were going through, that this evolution for you must, well, again, I always say must, and I really must stop it. It's my assumption, and I'm sorry. It's to do with me trying to put myself in your shoes when I say that, to think of it. But it's that it was an incredibly emotionally difficult time for you to be present for the other people within the community that you'd launched. I got there in the end with a question, sorry. Trying to, yeah, make sure that I get the pieces across that feel important.
It's difficult for all of us. You know, the first thing to always, when I share is that, you know, there's not a Black monolithic experience. You know, we're not, we don't all share the same lives, and, you know, we have different, we come from so many different places, and we've always lumped together as, you know,
yeah,
you know, Black people are, you know, we all are the same, and we're not. But there's this thing that I had read about a while back about vicarious trauma. Mm. And, it's where we, although we're all different, we all have the same fear. We fear for, you know, people in our family. You know, I have sons, you know, I have a 16-year-old son who's 6'1". And if you heard him right now, his voice sounds like he's 25. And he speaks with heaviness. And so my husband and I are always having these conversations, you know, about toning it down. If you, while you're out with your friends, if you come across an officer, and, you know, the key is make it home. And, but then you're in this information, you know, they're coming up in this informational age of, you know, the information's at their fingertips. So they read the Constitution, and they read that they have these rights, and you're explaining, and they're like, this is just not fair, you know, this is not right. And you're explaining to them, I understand that, but the thing is, you need to just come home, and then we can figure out how to make it fair and how to make it right. So it was difficult. It was difficult to have some of those conversations, but it also was necessary to create this. And so even in the face of difficulty, realizing that there's not necessarily a community for Black administrative professionals, mm-hmm. and that's where BAM kind of, you know, came out of. I mean, I was thinking about it a lot, the year prior to COVID, but it just seemed like the right time. And then, of course, with the unnecessary killing of George Floyd and others that have just died unnecessarily at the hands of, you know, individuals that I know did not have any care for human life year of 2020. It all came together, you know, and as we started a grassroots reach out, you know, to those in our community to say, hey, let's talk, let's come together, let's empower one another, let's have these conversations, let's create a space, because I'm sure the frustrations that you're feeling, even though we have allies like yourself, you know, they're not gonna understand, because they're not having these types of conversations in their families. They don't have this fear when your husband goes out to the grocery store at 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. get stopped by an officer, what's going to happen? They don't have these, they're not going to understand. So that brought us all together, you know, and it was difficult to show up. There's a lot of crying, you know, a lot of fear. And just, I don't know if you're trembled in that fear down to your bones about what's happening. A lot of prayer, you know, and prayer for peace, understanding, you know, for the Lord to help us, you know. So, yeah, I'm not going to say it was easy to show up, but I do know that there's going to be some light that comes from this darkness. And so I'm waiting for that. one of my favorite quotes, I'm not going to quote all the way, is that righteousness, it's from Martin Luther King, and I may not give it its justice, but righteousness must flow like a river, you know, in every part of the world, in every nation, no matter who you are. We are looking for righteous leaders, righteous people, and righteousness is this understanding that you have a moral standard, that you live your life according to this. You could be whatever religion you could be.
Yeah.
You could be a Buddhist, you could be a Christian, you can be a kingdom believer, but you have righteousness at the center of who you are because you understand that this cuts down the middle of all the chaos. It cuts down all the middle of the craziness, the lies. It cuts down racism. It cuts down all of that. It cuts it at the root because there's something higher than us that needs to guide us instead of our own beliefs and our own agendas, because believe you me, those that are racist believe they're right. You know, those that have hatred, they believe they're right. So there has to be something higher, a higher law that guides us and brings us to that centered place of this is what's right. This is how you treat people. This is how you love humanity. And so, yeah. There's no way to end that, you know, when we're talking about this, I guess, to bring it to a close, because things that are happening are just not closing right now. There's a lot that needs to change. So yes, is all I can say.
I understand. There's no full stop on that. It's a constant work and commitment by people to continue to learn and grow and become better allies and to develop their own skill and understanding in order to be able to reach out in compassion, but also on a practical level to continue to have the conversations about diversity and inclusion within the workplace. That's part of my role as a recruiter, and racism is absolutely something that I have witnessed and experienced in my role, regardless of the laws or irregardless of laws, that, you know, has often led me to halt my working relationship with companies. But that this is a time for reflection and understanding and working out how to move forward, how to educate and create conversation and dialogue that's productive, and that there is an evolution rather than it standing still again, which I feel like is impossible to imagine that it would stop. That because people have stopped posting on social media about it as much, that the conversation needs to continue. It's ongoing for us all.
Yes.
To support one another.
I want to say that I appreciate your, in the middle of the first part when you were talking, you apologized for assuming that, you know, you said you were trying to put yourself in that place. And many of those that are allies can take that same pattern of what you did there and find that apologizing might be necessary when you're having these conversations. And it may not put yourself in a comfortable place, but it's putting yourself, you know, it can't equate to the comfortability we've had, you know, as a people, but it's definitely a good place to start. So, you know, also being aware that you may not say the right things at the right time, but if you have to apologize midstream, just be real, just be human, you know, and say, hey, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. I don't want to say the wrong things, you know, but it's authentic. So thank you. I appreciate you for doing that.
Well, I think, thank you for saying that. I feel that this is about human to human experience, and assumption is there isn't any place in assuming somebody else's experience. And that is partially the problem of many people assuming that this is what it must feel like. There's no assumption that is available. And I mean, you know, I really appreciate you speaking so openly about it to me today and in our last conversation. And it leads me to talk to you about a new project. And this, I, you know, you can't see Nadine smiling, but she is smiling. And I'm really, really thrilled to be able to talk to you about this. Tell us about the National Association of Black Administrative Professionals.
Oh, yay, if we could have a drum roll.
Yes, I'll do one.
Yes. NABBAP. It's the short of it is NABBAP Incorporated. We are not, you know, have to change that because, you know, over the last few months, it's been the we are about to, but we actually just launched. We are a nonprofit. Our 501c3 status is pending, but everything is in order. We are incorporated as a nonprofit organization. And the thought was to take Black Admin Magic to another level and launch this national association for Black administrative professionals to take part in professional development opportunities. One of the big components that I am excited about is our scholarship programming. And the thought there is to, there's so much more that I don't have time to get into there, but to level the playing field, offering scholarships to those that are members of the organization to take part in training. We want to partner with organizations that are offering training, conferences, where maybe they would offer a discount to our organization. But where we would support, financially support, you know, those that are wanting to advance and grow in their area. So that's one big component. Another is our elite mentorship. One thing that we think highly about is for those high performing administrative professionals in an organization, where corporations are looking to, address a gap in diversity within their organization, that they might consider those high-performing administrative professionals with the thought of succession, you know, creating a pipeline to take them from, you know, EA to chief of staff, or maybe there's a executive director of operations position in your organization, but kind of getting those conversations happening in HR departments to look at their administrative talent. We took a poll of those that are a part of Black Admin Magic and found that a lot of the administrative professionals that are sitting in these positions hold master degrees. You know, they hold, there's a few that hold, quite a handful that hold PhDs. Maybe they've taken these positions because they believe in them. Maybe they've taken the positions because they didn't have access to higher pay positions. So it was kind of like get your foot in the door and then stuck. Mm-hmm. Challenging HR to look at their administrative talent and how they can diversify from that level as well. So there's so much more that we will have in store. Right now, we launched on Monday, we launched our free conference where we have some dynamic speakers. Ebony Bell Humor, who is
I'm sure you love
hearing this girl. Listen,
I know.
You already know. I said the name and it just she's magic. Okay? Yeah. She is magic. Okay. Yeah. Please, if you've never heard her speak, she's our opening keynote. We have some dynamic trainers. Our closing guest speaker is the most wonderful and gracious Miss Jarvis Ridges, who is the special assistant to the president at Spelman College. Mm-hmm. And we are the number one HBCU, but she is amazing. And so she's our closing guest speaker, and I'm excited to hear what she's going to do to wrap up the day. Yeah. In between, we've got trainers. We've got Deborah Coleman, who is the founder of Have a Seat Conversations in the Workplace. She's going to be doing a session on emotional intelligence. We also have TC Miller, who is the founder of Overwhelmed PM. She's going to be doing a piece on project management. We have our two teammates from NABBAP. The senior vice president of NABBAP is Tiffany LaVon, who has been in marketing and the profession for over 20 something years. She's going to be talking about affirming yourself in leadership. And then our vice president for brand marketing at NABBAP is going to talk about why you haven't gotten that promotion, marketing yourself. And her name is Ray Alexander. And so it's a great day. We have some founding inaugural board members, three high achieving administrative professionals. They're from all over the US. They're a part of our founding board. So we'll be introducing them at the conference. So some exciting times. It's a time for us to get our founding pioneers to sign on to the organization, get it growing, get our first scholarship.
That's so exciting.
We are just excited about where we're going with this, the programming ideas that we have. And we want to partner with organizations like yours, other ones that are allies, to help bring synergy, but just create some synergy, however you want to say it, around. Yeah. I'm tumbling over my words, because if you just don't know, it's like bubbling inside of me. I'm excited to be at this place of helping so many. And we're going to have a blast. The conference is on February 27th.
And I'll put all the details about the conference in the show notes. So people, please have a look there so that you can find out more about it. Yes. The part that when you speak about it, the excitement I can hear is this, the pipeline of talent, helping people cultivate who they are, where they want to go. And this is just seems to me a very exciting part of the whole process, because you're so right. There are people who are able to create new avenues for themselves. And if companies are not looking at potential talent, then they are doing their jobs wrong.
Exactly.
Because that's where, when people are already invested in your business, when they already understand your business and your goals, to take them to those next levels is the smart and right thing to do.
Absolutely. And you've got corporations that look outward and say, well, there's just not enough Black talent to diversify our boardroom, or
yeah,
there's not enough Black talent to diversify our executive, you know, our C-suite. And it's actually, you might be overlooking those administrative professionals in your organization. They know your organization. They're the heartbeat. They hold those credentials. So, you know, NABBAP wants to, you know, have those conversations with HR, but also help that pipeline of succession and success by partnering with other executives that would offer time to mentor these high level administrative professionals. So if I stumbled over any of that, it's just because I'm so
excited. No, it's so lovely to hear it because
I'm so excited.
It's the passion for what you're doing that's just really enthusiastic. It's really sort of infectious as well, I feel.
Thank you. So I'm like a candy store.
And I feel like is that all the things that you've done and experienced and learned along the way in your career have led you up to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that feel right to you when I say that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has led me to this place and I'm overjoyed. I'm happy. I can't wait to see where NABVAP is next year, this time. The connections we've made, how we've grown. I'm just excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm going to re-say the quote that you said at the beginning. I feel like it's brought us full circle in my Oprah quotation that you might not be their cup of tea, says Nadine. You cannot be everything to everyone, but for that which you are called to do is your purpose, and no one can take that away from you. And that, I feel quite emotional now. That feels like that's your purpose. That's your experience.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I want to say this is probably one of the best interviews or podcasts that I've done. Oh. Your approach to just making it conversational and not making it difficult, like, okay, we're going to, you weren't rigid. I loved your approach that let's just talk, making everyone feel like we're just having a conversation. That is your purpose. And you bring so much out. I like I said, I didn't feel forced. I didn't feel nervous. I didn't feel uncomfortable. Even for that moment where we were talking about racism. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate this. You brought me to tears when we were talking about that moment. And so, you probably can't see it because it's behind these glasses, but... thank you so much. Thank you for being you, being authentic, and not making this difficult. You didn't make this difficult. It was so easy.
I really appreciate
a conversation with you.
Oh, thank you so, so much. I know people are going to get in touch with you. I felt very privileged to talk to you about all your experiences in your career. And I know that the National Association of Black Administrative Professionals is going to go from strength to strength. It is incredibly brilliant that people are coming together. And the speakers that you've mentioned on the 27th of February, the virtual conference, people please go and look in the show notes. I'll post about it all over social as well so that you are aware of what is happening. And I'm sure that Nadine would be happy to hear from you if you get in touch. They can get in touch with where's the best place? Because I ask that and I mean, I'm rubbish on LinkedIn messaging. I don't know about you. Where's the best place to get in touch with you?
Right now, you definitely can email us at connect@blackadminmagic.com or Nadine@blackadminmagic.com. Our website, we still have Black Admin Magic. It still be very much alive. So blackadminmagic.com is our website. NABVAP.org will be the membership site. And of course I'm on LinkedIn and I think that's it. Facebook.
Yeah. The paces. Thank you for everything. I really appreciate today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So much for listening to our conversation. As always, get in touch on social. We are Assistants Together on all social platforms, and you can send us an email. It's assistantstogether@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Have a super week, and I'll be back next week. Take care.